from the 102.7 ESPN studios in Austin, Texas. This is the Jeff and Ed Show.
Hey, welcome aboard, everybody. Hello, is this mic on, Trey? Mic on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Welcome aboard, everybody. Ed Plummets, along with the former Texas Longhorn All-American Jeff Ward on 102.7 ESPN. Hope you're having a really good afternoon. I have no idea what you live. You're looking a little sleepy tonight. What time did you get home last night from El Soccer game?
Ooh, yeah. It was late. Late night.
I saw the final score. Bobby Ballou had it on, and so did Roger. 10:30 last night that they came back and won.
Will you allow me 90 seconds on soccer?
I would love to, but I want to welcome everybody. Welcome to the show.
Okay.
Welcome to the show. What did you talk about the first hour before we delve into...
I talked about Mike Elko and his...
We haven't won any trophies.
It was refreshing take, but then I had to remind Mike and all the people from suburban Brenham that you're only judged by what you do in late November.
Mm-hmm.
I do appreciate him saying what he did. I don't know if that puts more pressure on them or not. I don't know, arguably psychologically, but I talked about that, and I just said the perception of the world is you are completely judged by what you do in late November. That's it. Until you fix that, you will not have any trophies in the case. I wish more coaches owned that instead of we're snowflakes and whined about regular season games or we've won 9 or 10 or blah, blah, blah. If you are the bluest of blue bloods with more money than everyone else, you should only be judged on those trophies.
Sure.
Yeah, period. Yeah. Anything else is fluff.
Well, that's what he said yesterday. He said, yeah. remind my players our trophy cases. It's empty.
It's great.
It's empty.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the day for Mac and Arch and Colin Simmons and all the guys.
Mac Brown's coaching again?
Did I say Mac?
Yeah, you did.
How I wish he was. No, Sark is there, and we're looking for some Sark audio. I'll give you an eye, but I heard the stupidest interview, and I was very disappointed because I listened to College Football Network on Sirius XM when I was driving in because we don't have a local show there. I know Aaron.
Well, aren't you listening to whatever is on the AM to talk about immigration?
And Clay and Buck.
Okay.
Outkick the coverage. No. But I was listening to them because they had Sark on.
Uh-huh.
And they started out the interview, and I know we disagree about this. They were talking about scheduling and how Texas has Ohio State,
yeah,
and how it is great, and how Sankey and the conference want to have a power four conference opponent every year, which I think is really good for the fans. And when they got Sark on, they asked him about that. He said, yeah, I think it's important. Our fans like to see that. But he says we need clarity within the college football playoff people because he is contending, and he said this before. It's not that
who's saying this?
This is Steve Sarkisian.
Okay.
He said, if, you know, Texas lost to Florida, they lost to Georgia in conference, and they lost the non-conference to Ohio State. He's still contending, and I tend to agree with this, Jeff. If they would have played an easy team instead of Ohio State week one, they probably would have been in the playoffs at 10 and 2.
Okay.
He was talking about that narrative, and that was a really good question. Then, and I don't know if you've ever listened to this network.
I have not.
They're former players, yeah, and they're suck buddies.
Because of that, exactly why.
You know, they kind of suck up. And they started asking Sark about soccer and the World Cup. And you would have loved it. This is fascinating.
Yeah. I know he really likes soccer.
This is a limited time. And this guy starts talking about, well, my brother was the soccer coach at our high school. And Sark talked for 10 minutes on on soccer, and I know exactly what happened. I can see my friend John Bianco, the sports information director, going, wrap it up, wrap it up, wrap it up, where they ask him one football question, then they hurriedly ask him about another question that made, you know, just one of those layups, you know, we plan to have a good year, culture, all that stuff, and then he had to go and go, what a terrible interview. What a terrible interview that is, and I know Aaron's going to probably have him on in the morning. From today's stuff, but I'm thinking, good God,
you've got
Sark on, and you start talking about soccer for 10 minutes, and he loves it. You're right.
Yeah, he's a
he
big
starts
soccer
talking
guy.
About
yeah.
Camp Verde. He starts talking about
he's a big
Morocco.
Soccer guy.
He went to the Morocco game 4th of July. He's a big sportsman. But I thought, geez, come on, man. There's a time and a place for everything.
I don't disagree that if Texas were a 2-loss team, that they would have been. They almost made the playoff anyway by a biased committee. But the premise is offensive. It's just offensive.
What's offensive?
Offensive that a superpower is complaining about playing a big game. That's offensive.
They should play big games.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
Shut up about it. Own it and be proud that you play the game instead of using it as a snowflake excuse.
He just wants clarity, and Kiffin said the
same
thing.
He doesn't need clarity. You get to schedule your own games.
Wait a minute. Kiffin did the same thing. If there's a 9-3 SEC team that lost to a top 10 team in before conference and they lose conference games, Kiffin said this today. He wants to compare, do a better job comparing the 11-1 team from another conference versus a 9-3 from the SEC. And I agree with that.
I think that's absurd.
I agree with that entirely.
Heather Denich, I played her soundbite from the other day, and she emphatically said she covers the committee in the playoff for ESPN. And she emphatically said Texas didn't miss out on the playoff because they lost to Georgia and Ohio State. They missed the playoff because they lost to a lousy Florida team. Mm-hmm. She said that. I played the soundbite and said, thank you, Elise, for clarifying, because everything else is whiny noise.
I don't believe that.
That committee is handpicked for the SEC. They are not biased against the SEC. They're biased in favor of the SEC.
Well, not in this case, they weren't.
Sure they were. They lost to Florida.
But they stormed the rest of the season back. They lost to Georgia.
Yes.
Walloped A&M, yada-da-da-da-da. I respectfully disagree with you.
There's no world in which you barely beat Kentucky, barely beat Mississippi State, and lose to Florida, who fired their coach, that you think you deserve to get into the tournament. And they almost did.
Did they win those games against Kentucky and Mississippi State?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
They should.
They
should.
Won. And where were those games, Jeff? They're in the treacherous Starkville, Mississippi.
Texas budget is bigger
Lexington,
than Mississippi
Kentucky.
State.
Yeah.
Now, I'm never going to listen to any whiny coach who complains about the schedule when the entire
system...
He's not
complaining about the schedule. He's complaining about the college football playoff committee.
Okay, then that committee does a show for ESPN. That committee wants desperately to include SEC teams. That committee desperately wants to include Texas, because that committee works with a network that owns the rights to the SEC. Mm-hmm. They don't want Texas out. They want Texas in. Any suggestion otherwise, as Heather Dennett said, is naive at best, and he's just deflecting.
He may be deflecting. Yeah.
But he shouldn't. You have no right to deflect. You're at Texas.
As a blue blood team.
You're at Texas. You're not at Tulane. Never, ever, ever deflect. Answer it like Mike Elko did. Answer it like that. That takes stones.
Talking about the trophy case.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah.
Because, I mean, first of all, if I'm a fan, I don't want to hear whether you're at Ohio State or Michigan or Texas suggest that you shouldn't play a game that I want to see. That's offensive. So, it's offensive that you play Sam Houston State. But at least you scheduled Ohio State. I haven't heard Ryan Day complain about it.
So you de facto are saying that strength of schedule...
It does matter.
Okay.
It does. The committee says it does.
It didn't matter for Texas last year.
Because they lost to Florida.
Jeff... People lose to people all the time.
And they get out of the tournament by doing it.
Well, it didn't happen to Ohio State a couple of years ago when they lost to Michigan at their home field. They were still in the playoff. Remember that?
I do.
Yeah.
You're telling me the Florida team that won four games and lost to South Florida is the same as Michigan?
I'm just giving an example of a higher-rated team.
I know, but I gave you...
Losing to a dog team.
Right. But Florida was not Michigan on the road. Florida fired their coach. Florida lost at home to South Florida. Texas got boat raced by Georgia. It didn't hurt them.
No.
Texas lost to Ohio State. It didn't hurt them. They got out of the tournament because they lost to a lousy team.
I would disagree to a little extent. When they lost to Ohio State, it was an L. A loss by their column. I know what you're saying.
Yes, technically it's a loss, but that bias committee considers strength of schedule.
It would have been a difficult thing for the committee to put them on because of A&M's success last year.
Absolutely.
What Alabama did last year, what Georgia did last year, would be very difficult for them.
But, but
in
even
the midst of that.
But even if you want to believe him, because it's opinion-based thing, even if you want to believe him, the fact that he would use this to say maybe we shouldn't play those guys is offensive.
He never said that. He didn't say that
today.
But
he said the system is, he's setting up a narrative that is, well, it's a whiny narrative, first of all. It is. And it's a narrative that's saying, suggesting, opening the door to, well, maybe we, if we played someone else other than Ohio State, mm-hmm. thinking, what do you mean? Who are you?
Well, I know.
You don't get a pass.
Well, when it comes to the playoff, I can see his point when you've got an ACC school. An ACC school is in the playoff. Didn't happen last year. Well, you know, Miami lost
But the ACC
games.
School got in by winning the league.
No, they didn't. No, the winning the league didn't get in. The winner of the championship was Duke, and
yeah.
they didn't get in.
Well, that's true. Duke did not get in. But that committee's not biased towards the ACC. If anyone suggests otherwise, that's laughable. The committee is biased towards the SEC. I know. But it's not like Texas gets a bad break. They get every advantage.
I think it was not a bad break. They just took a damn wrong week to play lousy
okay.
against Florida.
Yes.
And if they would have beat Florida, they should have been in.
Look, had Texas gone on the road, let's say they lose to Ohio State, they get smoked by Georgia. Let's say they go on the road and they lost to, let's say Texas had lost to Oklahoma. They're in the tournament. They would be in the tournament. That committee would put them in the tournament. They would. They lost to a lousy team is the reason why they're not in.
Okay, I see what you're going.
That's what Heather Dennett said.
Well, remember, Oklahoma got steamrolled in the second half by Texas, and they got in. A&M got steamrolled by Texas in the second half. They got in.
And you flipped it, and Oklahoma steamrolled Texas in the second half. Texas would get in because they would have lost to Oklahoma and not a lousy Florida team.
But that would depend on what Oklahoma did the rest of the season. And Oklahoma turned out to be not a lousy team last year.
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, all this is opinions because the sport is run by opinions, mm-hmm. which is lousy. If you did it the NFL way, we wouldn't even have these discussions.
Your blood pressure's going up.
No, I can't stand for any coach at Texas to whine about scheduling. Mm-hmm. I think that is so offensive. I say the same thing about Ohio State and Michigan. Shut up, man, and play.
As a fan, I love those big
right.
games. We deserve those big games.
Instead of a narrative about, oh, woe is me, turn it into this is what we do here.
Mm-hmm.
Own it.
I didn't take what I heard in between soccer talk we see today
yeah,
that
know.
He was, you know.
I know he's a soccer fan.
Oh, he loved it. Okay.
But the soccer, 90 seconds on soccer.
Okay, last night the Verde yeah. Verde played a bad team and they won.
No, it's not a bad
yeah,
team.
Yeah, the Sounders are in the playoffs.
Yeah, the Sounders are a good
yeah,
team.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
First of all, it was so hot. Oh, my gosh.
Really?
Those Seattle dudes were falling all over the place. It's the best and one of the most impressive wins and performances I've seen by Austin. And they've got some guys that they found. I haven't seen an MLS game, which I could tell you all the best players on the field were American kids.
Wow.
Yeah, that
wow.
That Torres guy, they need to play him.
Holy
more.
Cow, this kid is good.
He had a goal and an assist.
So, first of all, for Seattle, not that anyone's going to remember this name, I'm watching the game, and I don't know who it is, this midfielder for Seattle. He's dealing. He's handling the ball. He's running the game. So I take my phone out. I look him up. He's 19 years old from Tacoma, Washington. He is slick. He is smart. He is crafty. It was so impressive. The two best players on Seattle's team are American kids. These are teenagers. So then Austin is playing really, really well. I mean, just shockingly well. And so then Trey is right. This kid comes on. They substituted three or four guys on because it's 110 degrees. This kid comes on, and he is cutting them up like it's nothing. He's a teenager from Laredo.
Really?
Yeah. I asked my son, I said, who is this kid?
He's been in their academy for like
yeah.
3 years.
Yeah. He's
wow.
some kid they found in Laredo, and he comes on the field and owns it like it's nothing. It was If he don't play again, then something. And now, someone's going to buy him.
This kid might go to Mexico.
Yeah,
or something.
This kid just hit the big time.
Did he really? Just from last night?
Yeah. Anyone that watched it was like, "Whoa, that's different." Look at him go. And he's from Laredo, Texas.
Laredo.
Yeah, the kid from the Sounders is from Plano originally.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's a teenager too. So, right, Trey, this kid was really good.
Yeah, he's 18. He's from, I think he's from Capitol Hill. He went, I think, something is what I read. But that was a great night for the MLS. Every team played. Griezmann came in and scored.
There was a game on Apple. I didn't flip it on. I was watching
some. It was a huge crowd in Austin last night. I mean, I expected it wouldn't be, and it was pretty close to, I mean, it looked like it was full. And, maybe firing the coach worked.
We have the interim coach, right?
A completely different team.
Yeah, that midfielder who had the header, I think he played great too.
Yeah, no, they got this guy. I have to ask my son all this stuff. They brought this other guy on. It's like, where did that dude come from? He's Polish and played in the Premier League. So what's he doing here? When did we find? Like, when
what
did
the
we,
hell is he running away from?
Whatever his name is, I can't pronounce his name.
Yeah, he played in the Premier League, he had an offer to stay in the Premier League, and he came here. I don't know. I guess we paid him, and he can fly.
Yeah,
I haven't seen too many fast Polish guys, but this is one of them. So I don't know. It's all of a sudden, you looked out there and go, whoa, like, did they hate their old coach that much? Really? You guys sucked that badly just to get rid of your other coach? And they were a completely different team.
And the new coach comes next year. They hired him, but he's
yeah, he's, I don't know what he's doing. Yeah.
Stuver also played great.
Yeah.
Oh, Brad played good.
That you expect.
How did his hair look?
Yeah, he's one of the best goalies in the game.
How did his hair look? He looked good. Hey, hair looked good.
It never moves. It's 100 degrees or 25 degrees, and that guy's hair doesn't move.
How'd the band do last night? How'd the boy do?
It was hot.
Yeah, banging that drum.
I saw it. He took a break, actually. Let me see the video here.
Oh, you didn't send me a video last night.
I forgot to send it to you. I sent it to everyone else. Let's see. It was, and I mean, I don't brag about him just in a half-ass way. I was really impressed.
Their best game.
It really was. Yeah. Best game I've seen them play in years.
There he is. There he is. That is so. He's getting big, Jeff.
I know.
He's really getting big.
I know.
Is he 15 now? 16, 17?
Not even close.
Wow, he's getting big.
He's pretty excited.
That is wonderful. That's good. That's good. Father son bonding and everything. It's a hell of a jersey he's got on. What is that jersey? That's cool.
What do you mean? He has every jersey.
Could he get Clemens one of those? That's a good
looking. Cool?
That's a really
that
cool
jersey.
That was
from
jersey.
A few years ago. It was a Fight Childhood Cancer jersey.
Uh-huh. That's a great jersey.
And that's really cool. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Everyone around me has the shirts off and everything, throwing beer on my child. A bunch of frat guys are dumping beer on my kid.
I tell you what, when he goes out to your Tony neighborhood and his friends come over. Oh, who are those people in the neighborhood, Jeff?
He loves it, though. He hangs
Verde
out with...
Listo.
But I was just happy for soccer fans and people in Austin that it looked so, right, Trey? It just looked different. It felt different.
They played great. Their positioning was good. It looked like a new team.
It did. It looked completely different. And his name is Irvin
Torres. Yeah.
From Laredo.
I think he's 18.
So everyone who talked about the World Cup and said, we've got to broaden that tent. Some kid from Laredo is a perfect example. Don't tell me that guy hasn't played in some conditions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So.
Did the people ride get through? Did you hear about this Sun deal, the Sun kink with the trains? Did you hear about that?
No.
Oh, yeah. They had Sun kink.
Oof.
Capital Metro forcing trains to slow down like 10 miles an hour because it was so hot it was expanding the rail lines and stuff. Summer heat causes...
Wait. Are you got some junk science right now?
No,
or is this true?
Cap Metro crews repaired a stretch of warp track south of the MLK substation this week after summer heat caused what the agency calls sun kink, forcing trains to slow down for safety. Cap Metro said the kink formed Tuesday, bending the track enough. Jeez. The trains had to reduce speeds to 10 miles an hour in the area. Crews worked overnight to fix the damage, but the agency said riders may have noticed lingering delays Wednesday morning. So hot. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Sun kink.
Will it just dump over or something?
I think, yeah. Watch out.
Look out.
Watch out.
Yeah. Look forward to that lawsuit.
Yeah, Sun
Is that
King.
The only way you can get to the stadium? I've driven past it.
Jeff,
has
a secret parking place.
Sometimes I get it, sometimes I don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But, you know, yes, it's... I would say, I'm trying to figure out of, say, 23,000 people, what percentage are on the train? More than half, probably.
Where do they let the Uber offs?
Close to the gate.
Okay, good. That's
the
good.
The problem is, for anyone that wants to go to a game, and they're fun, is that getting an Uber out of there.
Yeah.
It's just like going to a concert or something. You got to walk miles to get an Uber out. So it sounds nice on your way in. You think this is easy.
Mm-hmm.
So otherwise, you're going to end up paying between $20 and $30 to park in the domain somewhere.
Are they going to Houston next week, or is Houston coming here?
I don't
know.
I think they're going there.
They're going to the Hell in the Shell.
Ooh.
Hell in the Shell.
Is that what they call that stadium?
Yeah. I've been there a couple times.
It'll be nice and cool there. A tropical storm will hit about that time.
Does the band ever go with a team?
I hope.
Kind of like in Slapshot with a school bus.
Not my drummer is not going with a team. We don't do road trips.
We got to take a break. When we come back, we got a lot to talk about in the world of sports. I've been working on notes all afternoon long. Yeah, look at me. It was a rough day over there.
Oh, no.
It was.
Oh, boy.
You know there's a threat of communism in this country. The communists are everywhere.
I heard that. I was listening.
Yes, and I'm going, where?
Yeah.
Who are they? I said, yes, the socialists are out there, but you know what? We live in a democracy. I don't believe in socialism. I hope they quell them. But the people voted for these people.
Right. People voted for fascists.
Now, come on, Jeff. He's not a member of the fascist party. Oh. He's his own party. My man.
Yeah.
Great leader.
Right.
By the way, he was hosting the Dodgers today.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Did you ever know this guy, Bobby Patton? I think he's about your age. Went to Texas.
Sam's really familiar.
Yeah. I met him at a couple of football games. Really kind of a pudgy, jovial guy. But he got filthy ass rich. And he's now with Magic Johnson's group in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And they own a chunk of the Dodgers. And he's up there by great leader today. He gave something like $20 million to the School of Liberal Arts at UT.
I know of the name.
Yeah, Bobby Patton. Seems like a very nice guy.
Magic Johnson's post-basketball career is amazing.
Yeah.
That guy has the golden touch.
Dude was one of the original investors in the W Hotel down there.
No, it's you don't realize how much stuff he got into and got it right.
Yeah.
Including really, I mean, really innovative things in poor areas of this country. I mean, he's just a fascinating life.
He even got into movie theaters, and that was one of his first deals. When they opened the W Hotel, had the groundbreaking, got the MC it, and Coach Roll was down there, and they introduced Magic Johnson, and Magic Johnson went on about, boy, this is amazing. One of my greatest days of my life. I got to meet Darryl Roll. I followed Texas football when I was a little kid. I used to watch the Thanksgiving Day game and just... It was kind of cool that he had adulation for Coach Royal and everything. All right, got to take a break. After this break, more SEC Day with Sark. Trey Elling, I learned, is going to have Arch on the show tonight at 6 o'clock. Okay. He did an interview with him this afternoon. Aaron and Jack will have Sark on in the morning as well. So we got news about the Raiders and the Chiefs, and we got news about Diego Pavia, quarterback, former quarterback for Vandy.
You want to bet on if he starts next year in the NFL?
Let me just say this. He got some bad news today. We'll tell you what that bad news is next on 102.7 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN. Check out the podcast page at 102.7ESPN.com. Now back to the Jeff and Ed Show.
Hey, back on the show on this Thursday. It is the 23rd. I gave you fake news yesterday. I said the big talent show is tomorrow. It's not. Mm. The talent show is a week from Friday the 31st, and the man behind me will be a part of the talent show.
Yeah, I'm doing 2 minutes.
You got to do longer than two minutes.
That's what I'm saying. She just said, is 2 minutes okay? And I was like, I guess.
No, you got to stand up for comedians out there, man.
I might have to run the light a little bit. I might have to do like 3 or 4.
Hey, nobody's kidding. You know, you're a funny guy, but let me just say this, buddy. Be very, very careful.
Yeah,
you don't want to get fired.
I've already kind of figured out what I can and can't say.
Okay, no jokes about JFK, okay?
No jokes about JFK.
Or LBJ.
Do Trump jokes.
Sure, I could do well. I don't know if it's a good idea.
Well, this building, yeah. I think you're okay in the building. Maybe not down the hall.
The joke's kind of bad.
Well, don't, you know, just be.
I don't think it's a good idea to do.
What do you think of the idea that Woody Harrelson is doing a documentary? Have you heard this?
I've heard about on the Armadillo.
Armadillo World Headquarters.
Yeah, I think it's fine. You know, he was never there. So many of these documentaries you get on HBO and Netflix that are fun to watch, but it'll probably be at the Paramount Theater or some Alamo Draft House for a few weeks.
Outside of 500 people in Austin, the market is what?
Yeah. Not much. Yeah. It's very niche, very, very Austin.
Yeah.
I think it's fun. I applaud Woody Harrelson for doing that.
That was even before my time.
I went there a few times when I was in college. I quite frankly don't remember much because it was usually late at night.
Yeah.
Driven from San Marcos, and there are a lot of booze.
50-cent beer?
Oh, God, cheap. No, cheaper than that.
Cheaper than that.
Oh, cheaper than that.
Oh, wow.
Was that kind of like their CBGBs a little bit? The Armadillo headquarters?
CBGB. What are you talking about?
That's the club in New York where all those bands would play.
Oh, really? Well yeah.
To me, the better, I mean, maybe it's just because of my time frame, the better documentary, I think, would be Liberty Lunch.
I knew you were going to say that.
There was a more diverse music lineup there and where it was located.
But Armadillo was so cool because you'd have hippies on one side and cowboys,
that's
and
true.
They both want to come here.
Yeah.
Willie,
that's true. Springsteen played there.
Talking Heads played there.
That was a time when
Talking Heads played. Are you sure they played at Armadillo?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
When
Nirvana played at Liberty Lunch.
Yeah, so did Nirvana. I think My Bloody Valentine played there.
Willie was making that transition to Nashville, then to outlaw country. That was his transition time. That's when Ray Benson came to town. It was just I went there a few
times.
That
was 70 to 80.
75.
Okay.
70 to 80, really, yeah. Yeah. I was there probably 74.
And Liberty Lunch closed at the end of July in 1999.
Yeah, yeah. On 2nd Street, right? Help me out. Yeah, 2nd Street. Yeah, that was sad.
That's what I said earlier. That was the moment when the switch was flipped, that you knew everything was changing, because that was a technology. All of a sudden, I mean, a revered music place was gone for a tech company.
And
that's when the switch flipped.
Thankfully, there is the Continental Club, still a cool place to go.
Mm-hmm.
There is Antone's. Will and Noel Bridges have that. And there are a few others. I met a woman today who has the Wolf
business card.
She gave me her card. Wolf House. That's where they have in East Austin. They have music on East Caesar Chavez.
Did you give her your business card?
I said I have no business card. A delightful woman. She manages bands. She runs the Wolf House. Dan Robertson's her husband, a local attorney that I know. But this is her venue. But there's some little places that still. I never go down to over by. I go to Stubbs once every couple of years, but Stubbs, that
when was
the Mohawk.
Time? Yeah, when was
Mohawk
the last time?
Mohawk is good.
When was the last time you went to Stubbs?
6 months ago.
To see whom?
Patrice Pike, I believe. It was a private affair.
Oh, of course.
A private affair.
You don't go with the rest of us.
Not when you want the links.
They still have House of Vans around here. I don't think that's around House of Vans anymore.
Saxon Pub, I forgot to mention Saxon Pub.
13th
always
floor
back.
Is great. Mm. I like the 13th floor.
But Woody,
I was never old enough to go to Armadillo headquarters.
Yeah. It just folding chairs and stuff. It was in cheap beer. You know, that was cool to go. Schultz's used to be packed all the time in that the porch back there at Sarigunde Hall. But no, that it's going to be interesting. I don't know how they get a wide audience of that, but you got to get with Willie. You got to get with Ray. You know, if they can get to Springsteen and those guys. Linda Ronstadt used to play there.
Yeah, that's what the story said.
Yeah, so it was a cool place. Place in San Marcos I would go to, Grins and Galipas.
Can you
make
money at documentaries or not?
No, I don't think you do.
I wouldn't think so.
No. Grins and Galipas, there was a hamburger joint in San Marcos. That's where I sang with Buckwheat Stevenson. George Strait played there. Also,
well, it's not exactly Armadillo World Headquarters.
No. But I can't remember.
Buckwheat Stevenson and Bruce Springsteen.
Buckwheat and George Strait. Excuse me. Buckwheat was great.
Okay.
Wait, was that at that pizza place?
No. I'm trying to think of the other place in San Marcos. It was bigger than Grins. that George Strait really got his start and Buckley would play there.
Yeah, that's where my dad said he saw him.
Yeah.
Trey, pull it up. What's the ESPN morning show? I'm sorry.
Get ready, get hard.
First take or get up?
No.
Say what?
Said get hard.
That's not the name.
Oh my gosh.
That's a different morning show.
What the heck?
With Greeny on it. With Greenberg on it. Greeny.
If I say to
get
you,
hard.
I'll do this because I'm. Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry. I thought that was the name of it.
Why would?
Well, we don't know the name of it. Well,
I know,
don't get on
it,
me.
Well, but that.
It is. It's yeah, get ready, get
you
something.
Really,
get
up. Really think.
Get up.
There'd be a TV show. Get hard.
Maybe, but yes. I think it'd be on like a different channel.
No,
it'd
not
be on a premium channel.
There's an opportunity for my former friends that you know where.
Sponsored by Wright.
I will not mention their name, Rock, man. My friend Rock's company.
We try to think this through now. So if I say
get
to you,
up.
Yeah.
Which is like get.
It's nothing
is
like
it?
Get hard.
Maybe it's
at
just
all.
Like that? Okay. If I say to you Super Bowl or bust, you say back.
I say the Rams.
Okay.
I say Baltimore. Okay. Super Bowl or bust.
Anybody else?
I would sort of say Buffalo at this
Seattle.
Juncture.
Okay.
Seattle, possibly, but you know they. It's not a bust for them. They're still riding that high.
Right.
But I would definitely say, since the Rams put all the chips at the table, Lamar Jackson, it's now or never, and Josh Allen as well.
Okay.
For Buffalo.
All right. Trey, do you have that? Okay.
Hold on. Here we go. Here we're getting it.
Yeah, it is. Look, I don't think you
gotta
can
back up to the top.
You have to necessarily.
Is it fair to say that it's Super Bowl or bust for the Cowboys in 2026?
Yeah,
okay, stop.
I don't
stop.
Think you.
Good God. Oh, my Lord.
Can you believe that?
Who is that? Is that somebody on Get Up, Get Hard Show?
Yeah, that's the topic.
Oh, good Lord. That is so asinine.
Thank you. That's one of the dumbest things I've heard. Play it again, Trey. Her setup to this, and it's on the screen.
Say that it's Super Bowl or bust for the Cowboys in 2026.
Yeah, it is. Look, I don't.
It is.
Who is that? Who is that?
You have to necessarily have been knocking on the door beforehand in order for your expectations in the following year to be Super Bowl or bust.
Lewis
Especially
Riddick.
When you look at Dallas and you look at what they have done this offseason as far as upgrading this roster. And it is 1 through 53. It's legit now. On the defensive side of the football in particular, which everyone knew that they needed to address last year, look, Will McClay, who's in charge of personnel, went to work on this football team. And they have got nothing but baller after baller. And they started
do?
This work early on during the season with the people that they acquired. Now,
they didn't get Myles Garrett, for goodness sake.
That is exactly what I said.
If you get Myles Garrett and you got Aaron Donald saying, I'm going to play for the Cowboys.
And they didn't find Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, yeah, if you go get Cliff Harrison, who was the other guy?
Charlie Waters
and Cliff Harris back.
Okay.
And
so
Mel Renfro.
I mean, I just absolutely ripped them.
That's so jerk. Jackassery.
It is. It's just not. I said crack. That's nonsensical.
That makes your jackassery look tame.
Thank you. And then trying to argue they dramatically upgraded. Really? What? What?
They had a good draft, got a good defensive player in the draft.
Name for me the last time a team went from non-playoff to playoff to Super Bowl by drafting a safety.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell me what safety took a team to the Super Bowl from a 7-win team? See, that is one of the dumbest conversations that I've heard.
That's kind of crap that goes on in bars beginning right now in Dallas and Austin and people, Cowboy fans.
I will excuse somebody drunk in a corner. Yeah. I'm not excusing ESPN for having the topic, is it Super Bowl or bust for the Cowboys?
Good Lord. Listen, what did I say yesterday? If they get in the playoffs, and I think they may, if they win a couple of games, that's a successful season.
If they get in the playoffs, it's a successful season.
Yeah.
That means they've won 10.
Yes, 9 or 10.
How can any human being with any ounce of common sense argue they're in the Super Bowl?
Mm.
Would there be a plague or something?
Stupid.
And Rashawn Gary, I got blown up on Twitter saying you hate the Cowboys, which is funny because some of the times I get accused of sucking up to the Cowboys. Rashawn Gary, who they got from the Packers, I also retweeted the story. The Packers were going to cut him because he was too expensive and didn't produce enough. Dallas got him and overpaid him. I mean, is he better than what they have? Sure, but that's their defense was trash.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, this is a team that was barely breathing last year most of the year because the defense couldn't stop a cold. Come on, man.
Can you believe that?
Cheatham Street Warehouse. I couldn't think of Cheatham Street
Somebody
Warehouse.
Somebody texted that.
Yeah, Kyle did. Cheatham Street Warehouse. That was a big Binion.
That's
San
Kyle's
Marcus
favorite.
We used to go to, yeah.
What?
The Cheatham Street Warehouse.
You went from the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl to...
I had forgotten the name of the venue in San Marcos earlier, and I wanted to make sure our listeners know what I was talking about. The Cheatham Street Warehouse. Now back to the jackassery of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. I mean, Brian Schottenheimer would be up for Coach of the Year. Well, no, he would be...
Coach of the Decade.
Oh, he would be... There'd be a statue.
He'd be in the Hall of Honor. Move over, Tom Landry. You got a new guy in town.
I mean, if Dallas can improve three games and make the playoffs, I would say that's a very impressive year. That's not because they drafted a safety in the first round or signed Rashard Gary, who was going to be cut, told he was going to be cut by the Packers because he wasn't worth it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they can improve three games, that means they're better on. And they, I can't believe somebody started a segment with that conversation.
We are in the long dry time before camps open, and we get legitimate big news from college campuses or the NFL. So people have to do dumbass things like this.
A better topic for Super Bowl or bust is: has there been a roster, a star-studded roster built for one season before, like what the Rams are doing? And I don't know that I can come up with one. The Patriots that almost went undefeated weren't even built like this. And this is before the Rams had Aaron Donald. So right now they have the reigning MVP. They have the best pass rusher in the NFL today, and one of the best pass rushers of all time.
And they've got one of the most exciting, psychotic receivers.
They have one of the three best receivers in the league.
And they've improved defensively.
They've added two of the best corners in the league, and they have one of the three best head coaches. All built for this season. If they don't win at all, it's a bust.
Yes. It is a bust for them.
A bust. I mean...
And I'm at the point it's a bust if Josh Allen does not win.
Yeah.
And it's a bust for Lamar Jackson because we've waiting for the Lamar Jackson... Yeah. To be in a Super Bowl, which he never has been. Josh Allen's never been in a Super Bowl.
Right.
Especially Josh Allen is rapidly approaching Dan Marino land.
Yeah. I won't say it's a bust for the Texans to not make the Super Bowl, but I do think it's a bust for the Texans to not make the AFC Championship.
I think it's disappointing for the Texans. You'll say bust?
I'm going to go bust.
Okay.
But
yeah,
to say
I would
that,
too.
Right? I think it's.
I mean, you got
that window just closes.
Yeah, you got the defense to do it.
Yeah, you're not going to be living like this very long. But for the Cowboys,
their playoffs are bust. I would say.
I don't even think that.
I think so. I think they
if they don't make the playoffs, I'm with you. It's a bust of a season. Yeah.
But Dallas.
Yeah.
Dallas. If they don't make the playoffs,
they won seven a year ago.
Well, still, they got some pieces. So
Dallas won seven. With their entire offense staying almost perfectly healthy.
And they've got the greatest kicker in the league.
Yeah. So to think that you can be that healthy and that good again on offense is hard to pull off. So, I mean, I could see them finding a couple more wins. I don't know that I can find many more than that. I mean, if they hit on these draft picks, I mean, again, I'm sorry, but a safety doesn't make that much of a difference. A pass rusher makes a lot of difference.
And they're in a somewhat of a precarious position.
Precarious.
Yes, in their division, because you've got the unknown of what John Harbaugh is going to do at the Giants. He's got Dart. He's got Scatabue. He's got he's got receiver. That's a little bit of an unknown. It's a little bit of an unknown at Washington too. Will Jaden Daniels come back? Because if Jaden Daniels has the season he had 2 years ago, it's going to be curtains for Dallas. Then you've got Philadelphia. If the crazy man is a little reasonable, Nick Sirianni and Jalen, he and Jalen Hurts get along, and Barkley's back there. They could have another great season. So they're in a very tough division. But all of them are tough, except the South, and you know, everything's a tough division.
I'm back.
I'll say that the South is now in NFC South is difficult.
I'm backing away from the Giants.
Are you?
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you why. Their two star players are idiots.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really rough. That is
rough. Cam Scatabue.
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
What a moron.
He's a nut.
He's a nut. Because I love the guy, and I think he can do a lot, but I'm not optimistic at all. He doesn't do something stupid. And I know I feel that about their quarterback, who has been stupid.
Yeah, he's got John Harbaugh, he has to be.
John Harbaugh has got a psychology experiment on his hands.
They made some good signings.
They did.
They got Tremaine Edmonds.
Oh, there's a lot to like there, and hiring John Harbaugh is smart. But I completely backed away when I saw Cam Scatabue in blue jean shorts doing back flips and landing on his back.
They're kind of a team full of idiots. Arvel Reese's GPA was 0.4.
Yeah, I know, but he bragged about it.
But he made great strides in college.
He bragged about it.
Great strides.
What was your GPA? 0.0.
0.4,
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through
life. I don't know. I'm more confident in the guy with a 0.0 than in with Cam Scatabue doing flips.
Get ball. Cam Scatabue, I think he might have been lobotomized at Arizona State, if I'm being honest with you.
He is the ultimate jughead.
He really is an idiot.
You know?
He's an idiot.
Hey, Cam, run into the wall. Okay, coach, got it.
Well, and there's no evidence their quarterback is that much sharper with a gold chain and he cuts back against the grain.
Yeah, and he just runs like he's Lamar Jackson.
If they could make the correlation. Now, Jackson, if you stay healthy, the girls will be there.
Yeah.
If you're drooling and in a wheelchair when you're 35 because you've had so many concussions, you won't have the babes. I won't? Okay, I'll do it, coach.
You know, I feel like those two guys are at Galveston during spring break.
Corpus Christi or Port A. I don't know why anybody would go to Galveston.
I just feel like you're going to run into those guys in Galveston.
Or Myrtle Beach.
And they're beer bonging.
Uh-huh.
And they're
got the pickup
bright
trucks
orange
on the beach, and they got the flag.
And a big jacked up truck, and maybe even a Trump flag.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's what
absolutely
those two
a Trump flag.
Yeah.
Jackson Dart introduced him.
Yeah, I know,
him.
Introduced him.
Which is fine, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like those guys are in Galveston.
He's got a big. Big hands full of.
I mean, how do you call a guy into the office?
What were you thinking? Yeah.
Listen, you do realize this is professional football and there's more zeros in your account than ever before.
And Cam, what happened to you last season?
Right.
What happened to you when you got injured?
How many games ended he before he got injured? Four? Five?
He didn't play that many.
No. Remember you had surgery.
Yeah.
And now you're doing backflips at a fan deal.
And he didn't complete it.
No.
Yeah, he fell. What an idiot.
Yeah, exactly. And then he got up and laughed it off in those blue jean shorts.
And then they asked him, he's like, just don't worry about it, all right?
Don't worry. And Jackson Dart thinks he's in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he thinks he's playing against Maynard, and he's cutting back against the grain trying to run over guys.
I'll show you.
And it's like you could take the tape a year ago. Every time he cut back, he got knocked out.
He got killed.
I don't know how hard it is for John Harbaugh to say, now, son, I want you to watch these three plays. All three of them, you got knocked out.
We got to take a break.
What lesson have we learned, young man?
After this break, the Diego Pavia story coming up next, 102.7 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements, afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN.
listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 1027 ESPN.
Welcome to the show. Ed and Jeff with Trey Campbell. Coming up at 6 o'clock tonight, Trey Elling will have his interview with Arch Manning during the 6 to 7 hour from Tampa and the SEC Media Days. It was a Longhorn Day. It was Mississippi State Day and LSU Day. On another former player in the SEC, the great Diego Pavia, who I guess 2 years in a row almost beat the Texas Longhorns single-handedly. He did not get drafted, much to his chagrin. He was in New York City for the Heisman Trophy presentation. Got really mad when they didn't vote him in.
Hey, ripped the committee.
Yeah, ripped the committee. He and his posse, including his brother and his mom. His brother got in the big fight at DKR Texas and Memorial Stadium. Just an all-American family. He signed a free agent contract with the Baltimore Ravens in hope of making that team. Well, sadly, Diego Pavia waived today by the Ravens, so he'll be looking for another team. Will Jerry Jones say, Diego, I saw what you did against Texas.
No.
Would you like to be a Dallas Cowboy, Diego? Would you like to join our team, Diego?
Why?
Yeah, why?
Well, there you got Sam Jerry Howell.
I mean, he's Jerry
and
Jones.
And Joe Milton.
He's Jerry Jones.
No. Diego Pavia was a great college player.
Just like Johnny Manziel.
Yeah. I mean, a great college player.
Yeah.
Absolutely dynamic, but there's no job for him in the NFL.
He's going to the UFL.
Yeah, agreed.
At best.
Yeah, agreed. And that's probably short-lived, but he's a great college player.
Yeah. A great guy.
I mean...
No, Trey's right. They got Joe Milton who can throw that orange 90 yards. They got Sam Howell. They got Dak Prescott. You don't need anybody.
I can go snap it. I can go find some guy on special teams that is as good an athlete as Diego Pavia. What people don't understand is you don't realize how many good athletes are there.
You have limited roster space, too.
And so if I want to just go have somebody snap in and run the ball, I'll go find someone. I'll just snap it directly to a back. He doesn't offer you anything to win in the NFL. That has nothing to do with you as a college player, but he offers you nothing to win in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And you can say, well, he's a great runner. Well, yeah, just said. You go find plenty of great athletes.
Dude threw 29 touchdown passes and rushed for 10 more. He finished second among all FBS players with 334 yards
per
game.
Texas here in Austin.
Twice the year before in Nashville.
No, he's worth the ticket price to watch, but no. It's not a job.
See,
I'm not quite sure I understand why Baltimore was even going there.
They already have Lamar. They've got Tyler Huntley. They got the legendary Skylar Thompson. So they got plenty of quarterbacks.
The world of guys that bounce around from place to place over time would blow your mind. Just think of backup quarterbacks. These guys just circulate from place to place.
Yeah.
You go from camp to camp, you're running the same guys trying to get a job over and over again. So you just don't need them. There's just not enough jobs available to need someone like this. And you know what they don't like? They don't like backups making noise.
They don't like drama.
Yeah. They just don't put up with it. Because then go find somebody else who's quiet. It's not that hard. When you're not a priority on an NFL team, shut up. They really have zero patience for you unless you're a star.
Yeah.
And he's a fool who's not a star.
But Diego, he's got trouble with him, with the family. And
what's going on there?
Well, his brother was nutty and his
mom.
They're
kind of goons, right?
I don't know if the word goons, but they're kind of maybe raw. I would call them a raw family. They're raw.
Okay.
You know, he's at junior college.
The mom, too? She's got some issues?
Yeah, yeah.
She fight people?
I'm sure, on the internet.
Is she down at Galveston with Cam Scataboo?
Yes.
Probably so.
She's on a date with Theo Vaughn, probably.
Okay.
She's
wearing her blue jean shorts.
They're all meeting up in Corpus to watch a metal band.
Yeah they're all going to go see Hender.
Hender?
I'm getting the picture now.
Yeah. But see, that's a sad deal. And it's stupid, but did he even get his degree? If you get a degree from Vandy,
well, yeah,
give you a little
great
cachet.
School.
Yeah.
Are you really going there?
I'm not
going.
You really think he got his degree?
Do you really think that guy got an accounting degree from Vanderbilt?
I don't think he got an accounting degree.
What do you think he got?
General Sports Studies.
Okay.
He's going to be a future PE teacher.
Exactly.
He'll be a coach.
Yeah. He's going to be an eighth grade PE teacher who hurts one of the kids. gets him in a headlock or something.
He's kind of like the guy from Blue Mountain State who actually got to start the quarterback for Blue Mountain State. Have you ever seen that show?
No.
That's pretty good.
TV show?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think you'd like it, Ed.
I probably would. I like football movies. So Diego will be looking for a new team, and maybe somebody else will pick him up. I don't know.
I mean, they'll pick him up. I mean, they'll take a body for camp, mm-hmm. but there's not a job for him.
No.
You just don't need that guy. I mean, what Cleveland did, the quarterback, Talen. Well, no, yeah, they might do it. But the guy, Talen, what's his name, from Arkansas?
Yeah, now, Green, Talen Green.
He is such a giant, freakish athlete that is possibly an experiment. Diego Pavia was just a great, great college quarterback. But he's 5'9".
And he's
they have, I mean, all over that industry, there are dudes that can run past him.
He's vertically challenged.
And slow. Yeah. In that business. Not in college. The worst NFL team beats the best college team by whatever score they want. They can name the score. The best college team couldn't stop them at all. That's how different it is.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, this. I'm sure, I mean, if you, well, he wouldn't be humble right now, but years later and you ask him, I remember Matt Leinart, I was watching an interview with Matt Leinart the other day, and the guy's like Theo Vaughn? He was like on a show like that, some meathead. Said, hey, do you think your best team at USC could beat the worst team in the NFL? And he goes, dude, we would get demolished. The worst NFL team crushes the best college
team. Because
of
the personnel.
Yeah.
NFL is elite. You may be on a bad team, but you're elite.
Yeah.
Jets have some elite players.
The Jets could beat Indiana by 60 points.
Really? You think 60?
Yes. They could name the score. Think of it this way. So Indiana had, what, probably four guys get drafted?
Maybe more than that.
Yeah, in the first round, I think, they had like two or three.
Yeah, okay. Had some linemen, had Bonanondo. Yeah.
Okay, so they have, let's say, two first-rounders. Indiana's team may have four guys that make a living in the NFL. That's it,
sure.
The Jets, as much as you want to laugh at them, have 53 of them.
Right. That are the best of the best.
So it's just their offensive and defensive lines would dominate a college team. I mean, mm-hmm. would just obliterate them. It's so different.
Yeah, so very different. Okay, we got to take a break. 5 o'clock here on 102.7 ESPN. More on the Thursday edition right after this.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements, afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN.